This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Tomorrow is Intersex Awareness Day. It's a day to share knowledge and stories from people who have intersex variations and highlight important issues to the community. And a member of our intersex community here in Victoria is Paul Byrne Moroney. And Paul was diagnosed with Klinefelter syndrome at the age of 28 and is a national advocate for people with X and Y sex chromosome variations. Paul recently had a chat with our Joy team member, Dave Samuel, about his journey to find the intersex community and what his hopes are for the future.
Paul, thank you so much for coming in for a chat on Joy. So it is Intersex Awareness Day on Thursday, and I'd love to find out, what was your journey to discovering that you are intersex?
It's a long one that no one could possibly expect me to have time. And by the way, thank you for inviting me. It's a fantastic day to bring awareness to our community and also celebrate our gains and talk about our hopes for the future. From a very young age, knew that physically I was very different to my brothers and the boys at school and my neighbours. I felt that physically that they were developing muscles, or that they had an ability to play sport and things like that. And it was assumed that I would be able to do the same thing. And from the youngest age, I can remember using my fists when across my arms in photos, or just standing waiting to be picked for a football team, trying to make my biceps and my chest look bigger. So I hid my body away from that moment throughout the years. I avoided relationships. I avoided change rooms. When my parents used to take a swim in a Nutterwadding pool, I used to get out of the pool before my father and my brothers so that I could go into the change room and change and be sitting waiting for them when they got out. And that was all before the age of 10. And so I just avoided any situation where I would potentially be seen naked, because I feared ridicule, bullying, and being found out, because I had a fear all my life, or for half of my life, of telling anyone, including my parents, what was going on for me. Every day was waking up trying to decide what to wear so no one could see the size of my balls, which for my intersex variation didn't grow beyond the size of a sparrow due to a lack of testosterone being produced, which of course I know now. So I avoided any situation. Doctors would sometimes try to call me back to have tests for fertility, and I, on one occasion, walked on two streets away from a doctor's surgery for over 2 years for fear that he would see me come out and tell me to come in for tests. It wasn't until I was 28 that I finally found the courage to seek answers. I was doing a meditation course, and it was called Freedom from Fear. That gave me the tools to go to the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, and that unfolded at the age of 28 to me learning that I have the sex chromosomes XXY, a condition, as it was known as, called Klinefelter syndrome. I was told my body didn't produce testosterone, that I would be I am infertile, and then I was sent on my merry way. Another 20 years later, I heard the word intersex for the first time at the age of 48, and at the age of 50, I met other intersex people for the first time. Many intersex people know from birth, others learn down the track. And all of us, the majority that I've ever spoken to, have shared similar stories of being challenged either by their physicality or their experiences or fears of how community may or do treat us.
You mentioned you didn't hear about the word intersex till you were 50, and growing up as well, knowing that something was maybe different. If you had the opportunity to speak to yourself at 10 years old, what would you want to say to yourself?
I answered that in an article a few years ago, and not quoting it, but I wanted to tell my 10-year-old self that it is okay to be different. I've always cried at the drop of a hat, as I'm nearly about to do now, it's okay to be vulnerable, and vulnerability is a strength, and that I was born to make a difference. I'd love to know what my 10-year-old self would think of that statement. But as a now 57-year-old, it still rings true to me and makes me very emotional to recognise how far I've come since I found the courage to talk to my mum for the first time when I was 29, to share with her what I'd been experiencing for the majority of my life, let alone now being a national and state spokesperson for Intersex and one of the Victorian reps for Intersex Peer Support Australia. It's an amazing journey. And vulnerability, yeah, is definitely a strength.
Related to your, I guess, potentially your advocacy work, or for people who maybe don't know much about the intersex community, can you briefly explain what the Darlington Statement is?
Yeah, so even now in 2023, there are many intersex people who have never met another intersex people. And if we get together once a year, there might be 10 or 15 of us, and if we're lucky, or 20. So in March of 2017, a group of intersex community members, advocates and professionals got together in Darlington, Sydney for a retreat and came up with a communique, if you like, to the world, a call for action, a statement of six areas that our community want the broader community to know about our life experience and our challenges, and that we want for the community to understand this is our everyday lived experience of being intersex. Regardless of where we are on the life journey, there are things that will impact us more as a child, there are things that will impact us as adults, and there is very little in there that doesn't impact an intersex person somewhere in Australia on any given day. So it's a statement that is available on the Intersex Human Rights Australia website, and we ask the people, not only we want you to read it, we want you to affirm it. You can click affirm as an individual or an organization. It's not enough just to affirm it. I mean, it's wonderful if you affirm it, of course, but we want you to apply it. We want you to think about the different components around bodily autonomy or around unnecessary surgeries on children, or the education of our educators about intersex people, or the education of intersex people like myself, with sex chromosome variations, who, due to our variation, are cognitively challenged and have learning difficulties. And many as adults are diagnosed with ADHD because it's similar. So we want you to think about, in your workplace or in your life, how what we're asking you to learn about applies to you, and how you can take steps to support us to improve our lives and to succeed, for us to all experience our best selves. So it's been around now for 6 years, 6.5 years, and there are many individuals and organisations that have affirmed the statement. And if I was, say, doing an audit on all of those, I would be asking, now you affirmed it, how have you applied it? And it's Australasian. It's important for me to acknowledge that as a statement by Australia and Aotearoa, I often have difficulty saying, New Zealand, intersex community.
Speaking of, a community, say, across Australia and Aotearoa, New Zealand, and even before, talking about when you might have intersex people coming together and there's only a few people, what has it been like finding your community now that you sort of know that there is a term intersex that you can apply to yourself?
Well, it's really interesting, because when I first heard the term intersex, I heard it in the context of the LGBTIQA+ acronym, and intersex is the I in within that community, and you'll often hear us say I is for intersex, not invisible. And at that time, I was like, I don't want to be known as intersex, because I don't want it to be assumed that I'm gender and sexually diverse. As a male heterosexual intersex person, that was something that at the time was confronting. Not because I have anything against anyone who is sexually gender diverse, it's just that I'm not. But having met lots of intersex people within that first year or two, I began to realise that I had a community of intersex people who amongst ourselves were just known as that, intersex people. And I could be with them. I could go out for a meal. I could... We don't often just talk about our intersex stuff. We're just human beings. You know, we're just a group of people. But having met other people with my intersex variation, which happened for me in 2006 and led to me and the other XXY person starting the Victorian Klinefelter Syndrome Support Group. And it just meant that I guess I felt normal for the first time in my life. I felt it was okay to be me. I felt like I was understood. I felt like I didn't have to keep saying the same thing over and over again to get someone to listen. And it lit a spark in me as I gained confidence to want to help change our world. And in a nutshell, I didn't want another 10-year-old child to spend the first 20 years of their life not knowing why the way they are is the way they are and fearing talking about it.
You've mentioned a few things so far during our chat about how we or everyone could support the intersex community and intersex people. What are some, is there anything else that you think that we can do more of or less of potentially to support intersex people?
The obvious thing is to talk to us and to talk to people with lived experience and to understand and respect that there aren't many of us intersex people out there who are comfortable speaking about either our personal lives or even the campaigns on human rights and so forth. There might be 10 to 15. So understand that we live, we have families, we work, we are a valuable resource, and it's about understanding the diverse differences between everybody within the LGBTIQA plus community and not assuming that what you think you know, or what you know, for example, about the gender and sexually diverse community applies to intersex people, while confusingly at the same time understanding that what you know or think you know about that community may apply to some intersex people.
I think you bring up the important point that the rainbow community is diverse, the intersex community is diverse. You can't assume things just because the I is part of LGBTQIA+. It doesn't mean certain things. As you said, you're heterosexual. I think that's the highlight there is the diversity, to keep that in mind and recognizing that intersex people are already a small part of the population. And so the people within the intersex community like yourself who are comfortable with talking and advocating should be recognized for that, because it's not very common at the moment. Hopefully it will become much more common. We'll get more people being open about it as your work continues.
The intersex community in Australia, Intersex Peer Support and Intersex Human Rights Australia, have created what's called the Yellow Tick. Again, it's available on the Intersex Human Rights Australia website. And that was developed in response to Rainbow Tick accreditation not including, either not including or not accurately or not correctly, adequately including information about the intersex community, and in inclusion training packages, whether it's rainbow or anything else, not consulting us about how we feel that we would like to be represented in those spaces around inclusion training for workplaces and community organisations and individuals. So Yellow Tick has been developed, and it's a very robust training package which we also encourage organisations to receive and become accredited in addition to Rainbow.
Because that's very important. I just want to make sure that I can confirm where you can find out more about the Yellow Tick. Is that the Intersex Human Rights Australia website?
Yes.
Which is ihra.org.au. As you mentioned, intersex people like yourself are not just intersex. There's many facets. You work. It just happens that you are comfortable talking about that. So this question can be answered in relation to intersex or otherwise. What gives you hope for the future?
Recent changes to legislation in the ACT to make medically unnecessary surgeries on intersex children unlawful is hope. Gives us hope that other jurisdictions in Australia will follow suit. It's the Victorian government is starting to look at that, and the federal government is starting to look at that, and myself and a number of said advocates will be meeting with the federal government regarding the areas that we want changed over the next 10 years, the policies and strategies that we need to support our community. We'll be doing that in about 3 weeks' time. So it gives us hope when we're invited to participate, when we are being consulted and that consultation is genuine. And it gives us hope when we are starting to see change occurring within a legislative framework, because otherwise commitments don't carry any weight. It also gives me hope that we're about to have an intersex retreat in the first weekend of November, and we have got, I believe, about 30 intersex people coming together to Canberra to be together, to talk, to do some hard work, reflecting on our challenges, but also to have fun and to celebrate who we are. And it's a wonderful thing. And we also have Interlink, which is for intersex people across Australia to come together in a counselling, online counselling type environment, where intersex people living in regional areas, for example, who have never met another intersex person, can at least meet online with a qualified counsellor. That gives us a lot of hope.
Paul, thank you so much for joining me today for a chat in acknowledgement of Intersex Awareness Day. Thank you for being vulnerable and for sharing your story and your insights and your hope for the future. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And that was as part of Joy's coverage of Intersex Awareness Day, which is on tomorrow. That's Paul Byrne Moroney chatting with Joy's community correspondent, Dave Samuel, about his journey to finding the intersex community and what his hopes are for the future.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.